Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Linda, and this is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit and to be all that God created you to be. Today, we're going to be talking about beauty, beauty on the outside as well as beauty on the inside. And to me, the most beautiful person is a person that is totally beautiful on the inside. You know how we do it. We're going to do a little bit of scripture to kind of set the tone and the mood. I'm going to Psalms 139:13. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And, you know, that is just telling how we are. We really are so fearfully and wonderfully made. And then my favorite thing for a beautiful woman, the total description of who is a beautiful woman, is that the definition of the Proverbs 31 woman. So I'm just going to read that so it just kind of reminds me. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and tasks for her serving girls. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is wise and his merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hands to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of her household when it snows, for her household are all clothed in crimson. She makes herself coverings. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the city gates, taking a seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She supplies the merchants with sashes. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her happy, her husband too, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her a share in front of her, give her a share in the fruit of her hands, and let her words and let her works praise her in the city gates. So that's the Proverbs 31 woman. I'm going to play a little bit of music by Amy Grant, and then me and Kathy Y will be back to discuss what is beauty, and is beauty on the inside a lot more important than the beauty that we present on the outside. So let's listen to some Amy Grant, and sit back and relax, enjoy the evening with us. Amy Grant, the real me.
Thank you.
Hiding in my skin, and wonderful, beautiful is what you see when you see me. Well, welcome, Kathy, my girlfriend that I can get to do anything with me, including get on the show at the last minute. I love you, girl.
I love you too, Linda. Oh, that was a beautiful song, you know. That song resonates.
It does. It, and I love it. I heard it one time, and it was like, yeah, that's how I feel. Because, you know, it's like, I just want you to unveil me, Lord, and see. Because the real me is not just what you see on the outside that I tuck in sometimes, pull up, make up. But the real me is the exposed me, the me inside that sometimes is weak and vulnerable, is sometimes very strong and magnetic. That's the real me.
I understand that. And the way to find out whether people think you're beautiful, cut your hair off. That's
wow.
Where you find out people see you for you and think you're beautiful anyway, or whether they see all that other stuff, the hair, the makeup, the clothes.
And I bet, you know, when you go natural like that, and, you know, for our audience, for natural a lot of times, and I believe that's not a racial thing. That is a black-white thing. But for a lot of people in the African-American community, for my Caucasians, brothers and sisters, when we say go natural, that is, you know, don't process, don't straighten the hair. You just let it be natural, or you cut it very short, or you allow it to be in its natural state, And I think sometimes as black women, and I'm not making it a black and white thing, but beauty is how you perceive yourself in American society. It's that sometimes it's the straight hair, it's tall, thin, lanky, and sometimes we do a lot of things to alter our appearance in order to be beautiful to society. What do you, because you're going through a very natural state, Kathy, what do you think about that?
Yes, I do. I think in the United States, in the Western culture, I'll put it that way, we are socialized to see beauty as being that Barbie. If you don't look like Barbie with a thin nose, long hair, very skinny, and with big busts, you're not considered beautiful. But
I think
in our culture, we have all color lines of beauty. And we have all variations of hair textures. And are we to say that we are not beautiful because we don't fit that Barbie status? I say not. I say we are even more beautiful. But we need to learn to let our shine.
And I agree with you because I think that, especially for men, for women, but I think men go through their things too about, you know, not as much as women, but I do think sometimes as men age, they go through their things. I won't call them beautiful, though I think men can be beautiful too. But
handsome.
As far as feeling attractive, they'll start doing things, going after the younger woman, that kind of thing. And it has to do to me a lot with the self-esteem and how you perceive and see yourself. And in our culture, there's even been the color thing. If you're dark, you're not. If you're light, you're not. Da-da-da-da-da. What is your perception on that, Kathy?
Well, I live it as a dark woman, a dark-skinned woman. And, you know, there have been many occasions that I've noticed that if I was with a lighter version, the attention would be on the lighter person first. If you go into a restaurant, you sit down to order a meal, you may be the dark person paying, but they will look at the person that's light-skinned. And I don't even think that's consciously done. It's just the way it is. I think it's all unconscious, but, you know, you can't be sensitive to all of that. You just got to keep it moving and know who you are and accept your beauty for where you stand.
And that's so true. And being, you know, on the other side of that, being perceived as a light-skinned person, which a lot of my life I did not even really feel like really pretty or anything, but sometimes I was judged by other sisters because I was light skin. Oh, you think you all of that. And I never felt that. So it was always a shock when there was friction between me and maybe another sister. And it wasn't all sisters. I guess the sisters that had that problem really did not feel good about themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that was probably more to do with the way they were socialized.
Yes.
If you're always told that you're less than someone else of another shade, then you have that ingrained into you. And it's hard to disengage from that. But if you practice it and over time start having more self-esteem about yourself, you can disengage from that way you would socialize.
Yeah. And I think you can, and I think that even today, I don't feel that. If, you know, I'm an older woman, I'm not, you know, 50-something and proud of it. But as in my younger years, I could sometimes feel that pressure in my 20s. But as I began to get older, I think people, and black people in particular, kind of move farther and farther away from that. Occasionally, I would encounter it. I don't know if I'm not aware of it now because I'm in another space and place in my life, but I just don't feel it as much. How about you, Kathy?
Well, I don't care about it. Now, probably in my 20s and my 30s, I probably cared more about it then. But now I'm getting ready to celebrate a wonderful 52 years. And at this point in my life, I don't concern myself so much with what people think about me. It's more about what I think about myself.
And to me, that's the beauty of a person. When you, the whole thing about being beautiful to me is being confident in who you are. Because, you know, like I think we were talking and I was saying, like, you know, I got big hips, I got big thighs, big lips. But I, at the 52, feel the most beautiful that I have felt. Even probably when if somebody looked at me physically when I was in my 20s, they might say, oh, you're attractive now. I feel the most beautiful now, and I think it comes with wisdom and confidence and that kind of thing. What about you?
Well, I can say now, there was a point in time in my life, you could have paid me to stand in front of the mirror butt naked and say I was pretty. You couldn't have paid me. But now I can stand in front of that mirror butt naked with all my bumps and lumps, and know that I'm a beautiful woman, and it's not because of my physical features, you know, because if I focus just on how big my nose was, that extra roll of fat that I had around the waistline, you know, by somebody else's standards, they might say, I don't know about that, but by my standards, I am okay. I am
hallelujah. Hallelujah, because that comes with, I think that comes with a price to get to that place where, and I was talking to another, and I think there is a difference even in cultures because I won't mention my friend's name, but she knows who we are. She's a very thin, beautiful woman, Caucasian woman, and a lot of times we were talking about how black women are so much more accepting of their body. Because, yeah, I mean, I call myself a big, fine, beautiful woman. I'm a big, fine woman. I'm not a size 2 radio audience. I'm well above a size 2. But in my spirit, I carry it well. And not that I'm promoting being, because you know what? I think there's beautiful slim women, beautiful women who are full size. And to me, it's not about how you look physically, but it's how you carry yourself. Because I have seen some women that may be a size 2, that whole model frame, but their aura, how they present themselves and that kind of thing. And when you start talking to them, you're kind of, you know,
yeah.
Like,
you
want to back away.
I would describe them as a junkyard dog.
yeah. And not knocking them because I know some attractive women who are the ideal physically who are awesome inside too. So they are like the total like package because on the inside and the out they present totally beautifully.
Yes, and you can see it because they radiate it.
And I think that's what it's all about because I think not only for women but for men, I'm just going to go there, y'all. We real on this radio show. But what is the most attractive thing to me is, you know, we might look at the same man and you may not see him physically attractive at all. And at first I may not, but when he starts talking and if he has a beautiful mind, a beautiful spirit, and he just has this air of confidence that he draws people to him, that is a fine man to me.
Amen, sister, amen. Because there is nothing like an intelligent man to catch you, you know, one that you can talk to on any level about anything, and he's open. He's open to listening. He's open to sharing. That's a beautiful man.
And bringing it back to the Proverb 31 women, what makes that woman beautiful is that basically what I get out of that psalm is that, I mean that proverb, is that she uses all her qualities and talents and she is productive in all of that.
she must have a sense of confidence and beauty, or she had a sense of confidence and beauty in herself. It seems like she attracted the positive in people, and she just was using everything that God placed in her. And like the end of the proverb says, it's not charm and deceit and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So basically, what's the most beautiful thing about her, and what is the attraction? And I think that's what, for some people that don't know God, they may not know, but really, it's the anointing on your life. You know, and if you're anointed and confident and know who you are in God, you just attract that favor and that attraction. People are drawn to you, and they don't know what it is. Because, you know, even women may look at a man that may not be all that attractive physically, but he is so anointed with God, and he is so intelligent and everything. That anointing on his life is really the whole beauty of who he is. That's
yes.
The secret of beauty.
Yes. I totally agree. Totally agree. And, you know, I think this is the point where I would love to read, because I think Maya Angelou says it so eloquently in her poem, The Phenomenal Woman.
Please, because I was going to ask you to read it at this point.
And I'm just going to go ahead and start. Phenomenal Woman by Maya Angelou. Pretty women wonder where my secret lies. I'm not cute or built to suit a fashion model size. But when I start to tell them, they think I'm telling lies. I say, it's in the reach of my arms, the span of my hips, the stride of my step, the curl of my lips. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me. I walk into a room just as cool as you please, and to a man, the fellows stand or fall down on their knees, and they swarm around me, a hive of honeybees. I say, it's the fire in my eyes and the flash of my teeth, the swing in my waist and the joy in my feet. I'm a woman. Phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me. Men themselves have wondered what they see in me. They try so much, but they can't touch my inner mystery. When I try to show them, they say they still can't see. I say, it's in the arch of my back, the sun of my smile, the ride of my breath, the grace of my style. I'm a woman, phenomenally. Phenomenal woman, that's me. Now you understand just why my head's not bowed. I don't shout or jump about or have to talk real loud. When you see me passing, it ought to make you proud. I say, it's in the click of my heel, the bend of my hair, the palm of my hand, the need for my care. 'Cause I'm a woman, phenomenally, phenomenal woman. That's me. That is
wow.
Beauty.
That is beauty, and that is that confidence of who you are. It is really not, like she said, the fashion model size or whatever. It's just who you are internally that draws.
You know, I was reading Michael Dyson's book on why I love the black woman, and this is not a black white woman thing, but one of the things that in his book he pointed out was that what attracts black men to black women, and these are just the percentages: 1% ankles, 2% hair, 2% eyes, 3% legs, 7% lips, 8% bust, 31% and hips, and that was 46%.
Wow.
Hips.
Well,
I think 46% of the time.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
Hips attract men 46% of the time, and you know we black women got some hips. Our Hispanic sisters,
yes. Yes, we do. And I,
you know, sisters.
Men are physical, you know, they're attracted by the physical. I think that is what first draws them. I still would go to, and a man would have to, hey, if you're a man and you want to call in and give someone, it's 760-695-1120. But I still think that that is the first draw. But
it
what
is.
Can turn them off is if you have it inside.
He goes further into his book, and he states that that how to handle beautiful women, proven that he still has fascination. But he goes into the Bible's includes men look for self-assurance, the ability to hold a conversation instead of gaping at a woman's beauty when they're making their selections.
I don't see that. I think the physical things can really draw a man. That's the first draw, because men, let's be honest, they are, you know, attractive in the eyesight and what they see. But if you have nothing with that, if you're shallow, you know what I'm saying, I don't think that you'll hold their attention. And I'm going to even bring it closer, not that I'm, you know, knocking people. But have you ever seen the shows, The Basketball Wives, Atlanta Housewives, and all of these? Let's be honest, these women are beautiful women. They, you know, all of them on the shows are beautiful women, but their behavior and the things that they say and they do, and some of the things that they do are so shallow, as it turns me off. And it's like, is that what we're drawn to? Is that what we want to show the world that we're about? What are your thoughts on that, Kathy?
I'm going to tell you, I watched the show a couple of times just to see, because I've heard so many people talking about it. And I was totally turned off by it, too, because to me, they did black women an injustice in their behavior. They were catty. They were loud. They were obnoxious, backstabbing. And that is not the majority of us. I'm not saying that we don't have some of that going on as women, period. But the portrayal that I saw on this show just totally disgusted me.
And I have stopped really looking at it. And I wanted to see it, and I have seen both shows. But the more I saw, the more I became disgusted with the whole thing, because there's so many more beautiful black women out there who are the epitome of womanhood, and not just on the outside, that physical, you know, because it seems like it's the, what kind of bag you wear, how, you know, what kind of shoes you have on. And to me, we are about so much more. We are about so much more than that. And if that's what you're seeking to, you know, do all of this on the outside, but you're not spending any time on working on, are you compassionate? Are you giving? Are you loving? Are you uplifting? Are you reaching out to others? You know, do you have, like the Bible says in 30, are you a woman who has a relationship with God? Are you feeding yourself internally with the Word of God to beautify what the beauty comes to me from the inside out? You have any comments on that, Kathy?
Yeah, I think if we as women focus more on developing our mind and our biblical and the biblical attributes that was described in Proverbs 31, you know, we wouldn't have time for all that other nonsense.
And though, you know, probably I'm just putting it out there, and I just feel like, even if you're a listener, and I'm not trying to knock any shows or anything, but why, even with a lot of the reality shows and shows like that, who are not uplifting women but totally degrading us, and why do we acknowledge that? Why do we keep it? They're on the air because we keep looking. And can't we send the message that that is not the ideal of beauty that we want to portray? And as women of God, you know, can't we send a different message?
Well, not only just the shows we watch, but in the music we listen to, you know, the videos that you watch. I mean, there are so many musical videos that degrade women. and they only see them as, and I'm about calling a spade, they only see them as a piece of meat.
Right.
You know, let's put the focus back on uplifting each other, showing our inner beauty, because there is so much to be found in different women. You know, we all are not size 2. The average woman is a size 14.
Yeah, and when you see the everyday woman, that's what you see, in 12, 14. But on the TV, you know, it's a size. Actually, a lot of those women, the models and stuff, are young girls. Come
they're
on,
young
let's
girls,
see.
It's zero, and they are emaciated. You know,
yes.
They're not healthy.
And some of them have eating disorders. They're starving themselves. And this is for a lot of women, to fit the mold. We starve ourselves. We, you know, get to the point where we're, and this is when you've lost sight of who you really are. If you're starving yourself, if you're bulimic, and all of these eating disorders and anxieties that come with trying to fit a mold that society has made for you to define who you are. And let's define ourselves in God. He already sees you just like Natalie Grassett. You're wonderful. You're wonderfully and fearfully made wherever size you are. Quit beating yourself up and trying to fit a mold that society has for you.
And, you know, and a lot of this has to do with women trying, because there are so many more women than there are men. Women are competing against each other to try to attract that man. So in that competition, they're trying to make themselves look as competitive as possible physically. But if they would compete more on the inner beauty, then that would be the real competition. Because beauty fades with time. You may be the beauty queen today, but not have those same attributes as you get older.
And speaking as an older woman, and how you were then versus now, and then what are we saying to our daughters in that I can be beautiful at 20, 30, 40, and 50.
My aunt is 70 years old, and that woman is absolutely beautiful. She has her hair in the natural state. She is petite, but she, and she doesn't wear a whole lot of makeup, but she is the most beautiful woman. And when you first see her, she's a dark complexion, petite woman with a natural haircut, but she is giving, she's loving, she's kind, she's thoughtful, and she's a Christian woman, you know. She serves God. Now, even with that, we are all at different stages of growth, even in that, you know.
And I, you know, I can think of two older women. They are at my church, and I hope they're listening. One is Sister Mary. She's an older woman. She is beautiful. She is beautiful. And Sister Barbara, these women are absolutely gorgeous to me because of they have a powerful spirit. And sometimes my pastor is off. I mean, she is beautiful on the outside, but she's also beautiful. It's something about a woman knowing who she is in God and standing up as a standard of a powerful woman in God that is beautiful to me. You know,
yeah.
It's almost, I don't even really see who they are on the outside, though all of these women that I'm talking about are beautiful on the outside, but their inner strength is so powerful. These women, when they pray, they change the atmosphere in the room. You know what I'm saying?
When they walk into the room, it changes.
Right. Yes. And it's the anointing that I was saying that flows from them, that that emanates from them, that you can't buy in a bottle or from a plastic surgeon. It has to be given.
It's not in a shot.
It's not in a shot. You ought to try it. If you don't know about it, let me tell you about it. It's the anointing of God on their lives. And people, women that I've met that had that anointing on them, and I'm not making this up, they don't age like some people do. And so that makes me wonder. It doesn't make me wonder. I know that it's in what you feed your thoughts, you know. Because even some of these people that get all the plastic surgery and the shots and all of them, at some point you look at them and you say, she looks plastic. She doesn't look real.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done that?
And that's because
I'm not naming anybody, but
they are not happy inwardly. And when you're not happy inwardly, it's going to show on the outside. But when you're happy and content on the inside, people will notice that.
And it's something about...
They won't be turning in the other direction, trying to avoid you.
Right, right. It's something about being real to who you are that is beautiful to me. You know, and not that I'm against plastic surgery or anything that you do to make yourself, but I just want to really, to me, the beautiful people are people who are real on the inside. What you see is what you get inside and out. You know, even if they did have surgery, what they had inside of them is so much more powerful that they would
not be enhancing your beauty either, but I want you to work on your inward beauty first. And then if you want to work on your outward beauty because it makes you feel even more beautiful, that's great. More power to you. But you got to
honestly, all want to be beautiful. I do things, you know, I put on makeup, wear certain things to flatter myself. I don't want to portray that, you know, we're not saying that you can't do things to make you feel good on the outside. Because when you feel good, you present well, when you feel good on the outside and what you have on or whatever, we're women, let's be real, you present yourself in a better way. So it's not, I just feel like there's a tie-in that sometimes in this society we are more focused on, to the point of going not in a balanced way but to the extreme with surgery and all of this other stuff. There are people who are addicted to plastic surgery.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And it makes me wonder what you try.
They look like, you can tell them because they look like those wooden dolls.
Right.
With the smile face and the eyes fit a certain way, and you never see movement or expression.
And it looks like a mask, and it is, because really what I want to say to the person is, you know, it must be something under all of that. You must be really hurting.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we all have our own different mask about different things that we have to work on. And,
right.
But the beauty in all of us is as we start shedding different layers of those masks, our inner beauty will shine through.
You know what? Being vulnerable to me and you were talking about that today. When you can get to the point of your life where you can be vulnerable in front of somebody else, whether that be with the person you love, with your family, there's a beauty in that to me. When you can say, hey, you know, this is me. I might have done something, or this, I did this. When you can be open and disclosed, and I'm not proud of this. I'm trying to do better. I'm going to do better. God is working with me, but this is what I am. This is who I am. This is how I feel. And I think the scripture said God, he can use that. He works with in our weaknesses. You know, he works with us and finds that strength. So there's a beauty in being vulnerable, not to the point of letting somebody use you, but being vulnerable and open so that in that you help another person. Or you help another person to really see who you are. I guess that's someone taking off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I read it in this article. It was on marriage. But it said to love is to be vulnerable. And that is so true. You cannot.
It is.
You can't truly love if you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable.
And to the beauty of life is, and I think a lot of times when we, and I don't want to tear anybody down or anything like that because that's not what we're about, but when we can take the mask off, that we are beautiful, that's when we're most vulnerable. When you begin to take off the layers of whatever to get down to that real you, a lot of times you're in your most vulnerable state when you begin to take off those masks. And though that's a painful place sometimes, it's a beautiful place to me. Because then you're really getting to that healing point.
I tell you, this has been very good. You and I have some very good talks. I wish sometimes we had the radio show on when we have some of our in-depth talks, because we cover a lot of the stuff that we're talking about now, about the vulnerability and the beauty. And I think more women should have these kind of talks. We as people should have these kind of talks more. Take off the mask and just open up to each other. And then you get to see the real person. And then you'll find the real person you're looking for also. Because as you take off the mask, then you attract what you're wanting.
That is so true. And I, you know, a lot of the stuff that I say or a lot of the things that I say or the conversations that I've had with some very phenomenal guests, is I can say these things because I've been through them. And at this point in my life, and I still am, removing some of the layers of stuff. And as I remove these layers, you know, people are really beginning to see me. And sometimes when I'm shedding layers, it is not, I feel like the butterfly, from the moth to the butterfly. And I guess people have to, I've always heard that if you touch the moth in the process of that, that you could kill the moth. So I think in this process of shedding these layers, it's a time of sometimes you got to be by yourself to shed those layers. We were talking about that too, because what you're doing is making up and beautifying the inside of you, and sometimes you need some alone time to reflect and to get down to the core of what it is that's bothering you in order to shed the layers. You got anything on that, Kathy?
Oh, I'm going through that process myself, and you and I were talking about that earlier, you know, because you have to take that time. You have to have that alone time. And when you're going through that, not everyone is going to understand, but when you take that time out for yourself, that is when you dig deep into the crap. You give them loads of crap that's covering up your inner beauty, you know. You're able to speak more freely. You're able to open up and listen to others. You're able to receive.
Right.
What others are trying to tell you to help you with your growth. But as long as you're covered with the crap, you can't receive because you're so covered up. And then part of the crap that's covering you are your defense mechanisms, because so many of us are walking around with these defense mechanisms and we're not allowing ourselves to be the wonderful, beautiful creatures that God wants us to be.
So true. So, I would say amen, amen. And I guess on this show what we're inviting you to do is to spend some time on you. Not so much making the outside beautiful, which is nothing wrong with that, but spend some time working on the inside. And to me, some of the ways that you do that, and Kathy, chime in anytime, is spending time really looking at yourself. Spend some time in the mirror, really looking at the mirror and accepting your beauty as you are. you know, I do, you know, it is what it is. It's my glory. This is it, you know, and it's beautiful to me. And say it, you know, whatever.
But you know what? Virtues like integrity, kindness, and generosity are always beautiful. I don't care what culture you come from, what nationality. If you have those things going on, you're always going to be beautiful.
Common courtesy and just respect for your fellow man. And nothing turns me off more than to see somebody who is physically beautiful, but like they're in the restaurant and they're rude to the waiter, rude to those that are around them. It just sets a tone of an atmosphere like you just really want to get away from that person. And then it is that, who, what, who do you think you are kind of thing. But to just have that love and respect for your fellow man, no matter who they are. If they're, you know, the so-called person on the street that's homeless, you know, I think it's bad when we walk past them and don't acknowledge their presence.
Yeah. Well, I think you can't lose when you're being your true self, you know.
Right.
You just can't, because when you're honest and you're sincere, you may lose some friends, but those are friends that you really didn't need to have in your life anyway, because an adult can handle honesty. An adult can handle sincerity.
And sometimes we don't give an adult the chance. I heard Yana Von Zandt say that one time, I think on Oprah's show, that sometimes we're not honest with ourselves and others because we don't believe that they can handle it, which is a disservice to them. Because if you're honest with them, the beauty of that is that most times people can't handle it.
And we don't get, you know, being beautiful means that you have to stop being fearful.
Ooh, that's powerful. That is. It is. And I'm going through the process of that. I'm going to be stop being fearful about who loves you, who likes you, who whatever. Are you people pleasing? Or are you
so the rest of your life? God's got you. No matter what happens in your life, good or bad, he's going to turn it all to good. No matter what happens. And if you're walking in with that in mind, you can't walk in fear.
Yes, that is so true. And because we're going to be victorious, when we are aligned to God's will and God's purpose, know that you're going to be victorious in any given situation. And what are your thoughts that you're feeding yourself? You know, change the thoughts that you're feeding yourself. And I know I preach this a lot on the show, but you know what thoughts are? I'm like the, you know, Psalms. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. What that means is God took the time to intricately make every detail of my body, of my mind. He took the time. He seeing me as perfect in him. He wouldn't make an imperfect being. We somehow in the throes of life, in our existence, in our thought life, in the fall became imperfect beings, but he made perfect beings. And when we in this world existence, we became imperfect beings because of sin and the fall, but he made us perfectly.
Amen. Well, you know what? We would be doing a disservice if we didn't acknowledge the fact that today is Martin Luther King's birthday.
Yes, it is. And what a beautiful man. A beautiful man. He epitomizes all that we're talking. He stood for something.
A man of integrity.
Right, of all people.
Truth. Wasn't afraid to show weakness.
Go ahead.
You know.
Yeah. Would you repeat what you said?
Because we're because of his sacrifice, we are actually sitting here having this conversation. You know, we're
and
able to have this because of his sacrifices and those that were with him and those that came before him. And if you want to think about beauty, think of like Harriet Tubman. Now, that's a beautiful woman. That is a beauty. You know,
for the women
Andrew,
that, that's a
beautiful,
beautiful
woman. You know, these women,
the women
have been tried and are true, and they stood up against adversity. You know, look at Oprah Winfrey of all people.
Right.
That's
a beautiful
Barbie doll. She
no.
was dark. She had some meat on her bones. And look at her. Look at her. Now that is a beautiful woman.
And
but
I even going back.
What she had was, she had the inner beauty. And her inner beauty, her generosity, her integrity, her drive, those things stood out.
So much. And that those are the qualities that make someone beautiful. And I think about those women in the 60s who may not, who people like my grandmother, actually, and my
mm-hmm.
aunt, who, you know, I can, you know, remember going to meetings because they wanted to make a change, not only for themselves, going in churches, registering people to vote. I remember those days because I was, you know, young, but knowing that they were doing those kind of things, they changed a world in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had meetings about registering and people vote. I can remember my grandmother helping people read things so that they could pass the test to vote.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that beautiful? That is beautiful.
Oh.
And because they did those things, here I am today. I don't even, or my girls, or my daughters, those are things that they don't even, you know, and when we don't vote, when we don't think of all the things that they did, Dr. King and the people of that era, so that at this point in our lives, there is no reason that we cannot do whatever it is we wish to do because of them.
Mm-hmm.
We don't recognize that and appreciate all that they went through. And if you don't vote and do those things, and I know that might be off the cuff, but we do such a disservice to those beautiful people that did, went through all of that for us.
I see it as like we're walking on their graves. We're walking on their graves. We're saying every time we don't get our education, don't vote, don't work on educating ourselves and strengthening our minds, we are walking on their graves. We are saying that your life did not matter. These were, and that is not beauty. When we do that, that's not beauty.
So,
you know,
that is so powerful. With 6 minutes left for the show, I just want to encourage all of us, black, white, whatever, in honor of Dr. King's birthday. It's really kind of appropriate, I'm glad you brought that up, Kathy, that we would be talking about beauty on his birthday because he was a beautiful soul. And so what we are inspiring for you to be is a beautiful soul, a beautiful spirit, because we're spirit beings walking this earth plane. We're, you know, we're beings, but and not great to focus on the outside, but your beauty on the inside can change a nation. You have any other last thoughts, Kathy?
You know, I have to give a shout out to my brother. Today is his birthday also. So,
right.
Happy birthday.
And
I would be remiss if I didn't say that. But,
well, good. I'm glad. Happy birthday.
My final thought on all of this, though, is that if we as a people, men and women, we need to focus on we need to focus on learning, educating ourselves, showing compassion for our brothers, not just seeing it as someone else's problem, because we are our brother's keeper, whether we want to be or not. And when our brother is hurting, we need to help him. And we turn the blind eye because there's no cameras or anything else putting a focus on it anymore, but our brothers in Haiti need help right now. And they're not getting the help that they need. So I would say let's help our brothers that are close to home. We help everybody else. Let's help our own brothers and sisters.
So true, so true. So like we said, we invite you to be the beauty, the beautiful person that you are on the inside. And remember that beauty starts from the inside out. And like the Proverbs 31 woman, I'm just going to read that again. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So apropos to end this segment. And this is Soul in the City, where we inspire you to go higher and higher in the spirit.
Higher.
And to the city of your soul, beautiful. Goodbye. Kathy, you want to say goodbye to the audience?
Hey, bye, audience. It's been a pleasure. Linda, I love you, girl. You know, I just love your show, and I think that you are a phenomenal woman.
And you know, I believe the same about you, darling. Thank you. Well, goodbye. And the beloved out there, you are beloved because you are the beloved of God. We'll see you soon on Soul in the City. We have some upcoming shows. The Power of Prayer will be coming up. And I have an author at the end of February, and we'll be talking about his book. So be blessed because you are. Be exciting. Be beautiful because you are that too. Goodbye. And this is Soul in the City.
Goodbye.